I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. It's about interesting family stories and the truth behind them. It's available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
1 a.m. straight up here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lou Gower.
Okay.
It is After Hours here on The Fan. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Mets defeated the Royals last night. A homer for A.J. Ewing. What's that? Back-to-back games for A.J. with the home run. Christian Scott pitched really, really well. Nice to see that. And there were some, you know, some positives you could take out of the game. The bullpen continues to be, especially the high leverage guys, continue to be pitching very, 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 very strong. I mean, the Mets bullpen, when we're talking high leverage, has been really dynamite. Whether it's, I mean, Weaver is just been absolutely incredible. Unreal good. And the offense is showing a ton of life over the last couple of games. I mean, what's 18 runs in two games? Scored, what, 10 on Sunday? So a lot of runs have been scored over the last couple of games. You want to see more of that. The Mets and the Yankees both have day games this afternoon. And then I'll be on the air because of that. You know, I haven't done a 7 to 12 in a while, Big Lugowski, a five-hour after hours, but I have one later on this evening, 7 p.m. to midnight. We'll obviously have all reaction from the games and whatever else pops up in the world of New York sports. Let's go to Richard in Brooklyn here on The Fan. What's up, Richard?
Oh, how you doing, Lugie?
Hey, what's happening?
Evidently, you don't want me to discuss Alonzo. Anyway, I want to go to something that you pointed out about Juan Soto, okay? Listen, this man has a laser beam eye at the plate.
Yes, I mean,
the ball, it slows down for him.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best hitters, probably maybe the best hitter in the game. However,
when you factor in his eye and the walks and on base percentage, it's absolutely insane.
It's phenomenal, yes.
But yeah, there's a no butt doubt. Coming, though.
Yes, absolutely. The outfield. I disagree with your analogy about his outfield, and he's very subpar in the outfield.
Well, hold on a second. When you're talking about his offense, though, and I would say he is a, let's call him a good fielder. I think it's sort of overblown his defense as far as in a negative fashion. I mean, he could play both corners too, so he's got versatility.
But listen, I see so many times that balls, he should be able to run down. This guy got wheels like my 1968 GTX, and he just doesn't go after.
Is that bad? Is that a bad thing, the wheels on? Because I don't get that reference. Is that, so when you're saying the wheels on the 1968 GT, is that a bad thing, or does that mean he's...
No, that means that he's fast as hell, basically, is what I'm saying.
That's what I thought. Yeah, I figured it would be a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah, but... For some reason, he doesn't run these balls down there. I think that he could easily track down and get.
He gets to the majority of the balls that he needs to get to.
He overplays a lot of balls and underplays. He's a subpar outfielder.
No, I could settle on average, but I would not say subpar. I think it's completely overblown. He has a couple of moments that get viral on social media, but I think overall, if you watch him day in, day out,
Deal with social media.
Well, I mean, but a lot of people do. And I don't blame you for not, believe me, it's something I wouldn't deal with it either if I didn't have to because of the job. It's a very toxic.
Yeah, I get that. Totally get it. All right, anyway, moving along, right? First base. All right, you mentioned that Polanco got hurt,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
How many games in Polanco's life has he played at first base?
Going into this season, that would be one.
Thank you. What makes
you're
you
welcome?
Think
but what is that? What does that have to do?
Master that position.
Well, because he's an athletic guy. He plays a bunch of positions. He would learn the position, I think, because of those things. And obviously, he's a good hitter when he's been healthy. So I expected the offense to be there. And I did expect him to be I'm not going to shoot for the stars, but I would say an average to above average first baseman,
mm-hmm.
which is really all Pete Alonso was.
Defensively. Actually, Alonso was getting better and better.
Defensively, some parts of his game were getting better defensively. Other parts were still a bit of a struggle.
Listen, that's
he was
all
good
right.
at scooping the ball, but the throwing the ball sometimes was a bit of an adventure.
Averaging 40 home runs a year.
Yeah, no, but we're talking defense. We're not talking offense. We're talking. Yeah. You just said
right,
defense. No,
defense.
I'm not. No, his offense has
all
obviously
right.
always been there.
Listen, six players have been rotated at first base for the Mets, right? Vientos is athletic, correct?
Yeah, not Polanco athletic, though. Mark Vientos is really, and I love Mark, he's more of a DH.
All right. Anyway.
So it's really, it was incredibly unfair to Mark, but listen, injuries happen, and Young got hurt, too. Mark Vientos is not a first baseman, but he was put there because of injuries. He's more of a DH and a guy that can mash lefties.
All right, so you're saying he got put there because of Polanco?
Yeah, exactly. Polanco would have been the first baseman.
All right, okay. But
even Jared Young got hurt, too.
Six play. Blue, can I finish?
Yeah.
Please?
Well, you don't have to say please, but we're having a conversation. I don't want to know when you finished. What, do you just talk the entire time?
Yeah,
we're
sorry.
Having a back and forth. Don't be sorry. There's no reason to be sorry or thankful. But I do have one question for you. I do have one question for you, though. What would the Mets...
Right,
it's a new bit we have here on After Hours. What do you think... The Mets record right now is 39-54. What would their record be with Pete Alonso if he was on the team?
I believe 49.
49 wins.
50
wins. So you would have them right around where the Phillies and Marlins and Braves are right now.
Yeah, they'd be right in the thick of it.
Okay, so about Pete Alonso in your mind equals 12 wins.
Yes. Let me put it this way. Dave had six players at first base for the New York Mets, right? All six of them, Alonso outnumbers them all.
No, I understand together. About the numbers part. Yeah, I'm not going to dispute you on that. I'm just talking about in terms of it translating to wins because he has those numbers with Baltimore and they have 42 wins.
Yeah, I know.
Well,
Baltimore doesn't have Juan Soto. They don't have
Lindor. I understand that, but the Mets didn't have Lindor for most of the year, too.
Listen, I'm a Mets fan. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, I'm not getting you wrong. Okay? No. I'm going to do this with a lot of the Mets fans, especially the Pete Alonso Mets fans, and I just want to know how many wins you think the team would have with Pete Alonso on the team this year.
And I straight up said I believe they will have 49 to 51 wins.
Okay. What do you think the Mets' biggest issue this year has been?
The absence of Pete Alonso.
Right? What do you think the biggest issue has been this year? I'll ask it again. I'll give you a hint. I'll give you a hint. It starts with an S. You ready to give the answer, Rich, or no?
Yeah, I want the answer. Go ahead.
Starting pitching.
Starting pitching. All right. How did I lose that? Yeah.
Well, because you're hung up on Pete Alonso. You're one of these fellas that are hung up on Pete Alonso. Pete Alonso this, Pete Alonso that, Pete Alonso this, Pete Alonso that. It's become kind of mythical. I even had this conversation with someone the other day where I was like, well, look at the Orioles record with Pete Alonso and the numbers he's putting up. And they said, well, the Orioles don't have any pitching. Pete Alonso's not an all-star. And again, it's positive Tommy in moderation. So I'll lead you to the water. I'll have you say it for me. I'll have you say it for me. That's how we'll get around this. That's my brilliant plan for the rest of the summer. I'll just have you guys say it. But I'll get you there. I'll get you there.
The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
The Orioles are 42-51. They're in dead last. Dead last. And this is the best you're going to get at Pete Alonso, in all likelihood, because he's in the prime of his career. Polanco getting hurt completely derailed the plan that they had at first base. Now, you bring up a good point that Polanco, and I brought this point up too in the offseason, Polanco had not played first base in his career. He only played there one time, one game before. But he is athletic. He has played multiple positions in his career, and I think David Stearns felt comfortable with Polanco transitioning into a first baseman. Now, we haven't been able to see it because Polanco has been on the shelf really the entire year. And like I brought up maybe 30 minutes ago, nobody brings up Edwin Diaz because Edwin Diaz is hurt and the alleged cockfighting stuff, and the back end of the Mets bullpen has been awesome. Nobody brings up Nimmo because Benj has been great as far as meaning like what you'd expect as a player in his rookie year. Ewing's been great, so nobody brings that stuff up. But people point back to first base because of the replacement not producing, and that was, in my opinion, due to injury. If look at Polanco's numbers, homework assignment. When he's healthy, he puts up really good numbers. He was not going to put up Pete Alonso numbers. Nobody was except for Schwarber. So if you wanted to just have a Pete Alonso replacement, yeah, Kyle Schwarber would be that. But Kyle Schwarber can't play a position. So he really wouldn't have been the replacement as far as defensively. And I think if we're being fair, Pete Alonso defensively is average. Average. Some things he does well, some things he doesn't do well. The one thing, Pete, that you besides obviously the offense, is that, yeah, he does play every day. 100%. Availability, no doubt. But you, Richard, along with our caller last night in this new game we have here on After Hours, which is how many wins would the Mets have with Pete Alonso, both of you had the Mets with 50 wins. I think last night our caller had 52. You had, I think you said 49-50, so we'll go with 50. You'd have them at 50 wins with Pete. So that is, according to my calculation, 11 to 12 more wins with Pete Alonso at first base. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call here on After Hours. Let's head out to Keyport, and Bob joins us. What's up, Bob?
How are you?
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, first of all, let's play the Pete Alonso game. I think the Mets would have, like, at least 100 wins. They probably have 1,100 winning percentage right now.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you, and I'm always more leaning on the side of positive. I would say the Mets would be, they would probably have 3 losses right now with Pete Alonso on their team.
He must be hurt for those 3 games.
I would say, because he never gets hurt. So one day he had the flu. The next day he had to go, you know, it was a family thing. He had to go to like a family member's wedding. So he missed the game. And then the other one, he overslept.
He could do maybe paternity leave. You know, he could do that for one day.
Yep, absolutely. 100%. I think that's up because him and his wife had a baby in the off season. So you get up to a year paternity leave, at least in most businesses. So yeah, he could have taken a day paternity. So for those 3 games, because Pete Alonso means everything, it would be a team that have 3 losses this year. So I'm kind of with you, Bob. I like where your head's at.
Tommy, I'm usually with you on most things, but what you said about Lindor and Soto getting along, they could coexist. I just don't want to hear about coexistence from a guy who can't survive 5 minutes with Rosenberg. I really don't.
Well, hold on a second. You know what? But I have coexisted with him. I've been his friend. I believe it or not, a lot of people don't know this. We were roommates.
You literally paid for him to go to Disneyland.
No. Those are accusations against me that I would like to address right now. I did not fund Paul Rosenberg's. You think that I would pay? You know how long he's been gone? He's been gone for like 3 months. I would not pay. Disney for a day is too much money, let alone how many weeks he's been there. So no. I would not fund that type of trip. I have not funded for that type of trip. I have not. Those accusations against me, Bob, are false.
One more thing, Tom. Yeah. Could I put in a show request?
Yeah, of course.
I thought we were going to get this Monday night. Really, really upset we didn't. I thought we were going to get a schmoozer impression on the World Cup. I really thought, you know, with the Pulisic and the ball on the ground the whole time, you know?
You're right. I didn't. Yeah, you know what? I usually don't bust the Summers impression out unless Connor's here because he backs it up with drops. And I don't know. Connor's another one. I love Connor. I haven't seen him in months either. I haven't seen Fliegelman's here. He's a rider. He's here every day. But like my other 2 producers basically don't produce for me anymore. So maybe I have to talk to upper management about that because tomorrow I don't have a regular producer. Next week there's no shot I'll have a regular producer. So I guess when the midday show takes vacation, I just lose all my producers. I guess that's how it works.
Maybe you could get like the Jets AI defensive coordinator.
You're right. Brian Duker, who we've been working on. Now that we're getting closer to football season, excuse me, Bob, we will make a bigger push to get Brian Duker, who obviously is artificial intelligence, the first AI defensive coordinator in the history of the NFL. We're going to get him on the show, maybe right around the start of training camp. I think that works. I think that's where we're going to go. Thank you for reminding me about that. I did forget.
Yeah, you maybe give them to all the sour Yankee fans for a manager. Maybe do that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. No, 100%. But yeah, I don't know. I haven't seen Connor in weeks. I haven't seen Rosenberg in weeks. I don't know where they are. They're not here on After Hours. They're not here. No, I love working with Connor. Fleeks is here. And I love working with Connor, as you know, and Rosenberg. Nah, I mean, not really, but he does provide something. I'm not sure what it is, but he does provide it. Whatever it is that he provides, he does. One thing I'll say about Rosenberg, he does provide it. Whatever it is, he provides it. He's consistent from that standpoint. But yeah, no joke. He's still not back. He didn't go to Mars. He went to Florida. I'm going to have a long conversation with him. Very long. Because I don't think he's working with me next week either. I could be wrong about that, but I don't think he is. Connor, same thing. Not with me tomorrow. Where is he? Nobody knows. The 4th of July, when is it? Nobody has any idea. Yeah, man, but that's where we're at. That's where we're at. I'm going to have a very... The first show I do at Rosenberg is going to be electric. You're going to want to tune in for that because he's a chooch. I mean, they really, honestly. And he better bring me back something. We had a very long discussion about that. I want something back from Disney. As you know, I'm a bit... Maybe you don't know this. I don't know what word I would use in front of Disney fan. I like Disney. How about that? I was going to say big Disney fan. I don't think that's probably fair. But I do like going to the Disney parks. My wife hates it. She could barely stand me. So when you have that combination of a place she hates and a person she's with that she could barely stand, you run into some hurdles. And I say all the time, I'm like, well, how do you not like Disney? She goes, well, I hate crowds and I hate strollers. I'm like, well, they have both of those things in abundance. I hate hockey and I hate kids. Well, you know, you run into a situation there. But somehow, some way, probably because of my charm, I've convinced her to go many times. Obviously, with the in-laws out there in Los Angeles, Beverly Hills, Tinseltown, City of Angels, whenever we're visiting my in-laws in Beverly Hills, I somehow am able to hoodwink her into going to Disney. And now I have another in because my nephew, who just turned one this year, will be, according to my calculations, he'll be turning two next year, and they get into Disney 3 years and younger for free, right? That was always, Evan was like, oh, I'm going to Disney this year because my kids are young. They're under three. So Uncle Tommy's going to be bringing his nephew to Disney. Now, of course, I'm going to need other people to come there because I'm not going to want to have to deal with him the entire time. I mean, there's no shot. I'm not going solo with him. You got that's a no shot of that happening. Zero shot. Don't change diapers. Don't deal with crying babies. Not pushing around a stroller. I'm not holding you the entire time. So I'm really not doing anything with you. I'm just sort of there with you. That's about it. That's as far as I'm going. All the other parenting stuff, you know, his parents can do. Or my wife can do. Or my mother-in-law and father-in-law can do. I'm not doing any of that stuff. No shot. I'm going on the rides. I'm going to go have fun. Leave the work to everybody else. Where was I? Oh, yes. So, yeah, Bob, I have no idea where Rosenberg is. I have no idea where Connor is. I know Fliegelman's here. So when it comes to that end-of-the-year get-together that I'm going to have with all my producers, Fliegelman's sitting at the head of the table, as far as I'm concerned. He could supersize his meal. It's on me. The other two, they could share a meal at this rate. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's head out to Mary on the fan. What's up, Mary?
Hey, Tommy. Hey. Long time no speak. How are you doing?
Hope you're doing well. I'm doing good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I just wanted to say, off the top of my head, there are two callers that whenever they call in, you know you're going to laugh. Bob and Kipor and Robbie and Phoenix.
Yes, I've love Robbie and Phoenix. Bob and Keyport, who's a little bit more with the shtick. And then Robbie, it sometimes does feel like shtick, but I don't think it is. Robbie is a hilarious caller. So I appreciate that because I enjoy the call. So I'm glad that you, Mary, a part of the audience, you enjoy him as well.
Yeah, and Aaron Bruno is...
Oh, yeah, Robbie is an Aaron Bruno supporter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I use that with quotations.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, before I go on my Yankee rant, I just want to say a funny story that happened to me. I think it was Sunday night. The Mets won 10-9. It was Sunday night?
Sunday day. Mm-hmm.
So, I was with my friends and there was a bunch of probably 10-year-old boys, 10, 11, 12. And there was this one boy that was wearing a Mets jersey. So I was like, the Mets had a really crazy game today. And he's like, how do you know? I was like, I probably know more than you about baseball. So
there you go. Great comeback.
And it was really funny. And then he was like, and this other boy was like, "Hey, fine, let's have a sports app." So he was like, "Ask me like really dumb question, like who's the first baseman on the Yankees?" I was like, "Well, actually, it could be two. There's, you know, there's Paul Goldschmidt, Ben Rice." And he's like, and then this other boy comes.
I mean, that's
like,
that's actually a hard question. There's people that work here that probably couldn't answer that.
and then another boy was like, I said I also go for the Knicks, and he's like, "Name the starting five." And I was literally in like 5 seconds, I rattled off the starting five, and like he was sitting there with like his mouth hanging open, like how could a girl like possibly know so much sports?
Yeah, he's being a chauvinist. That's a trait very, very common amongst 10 to 12 year old boys. I mean, that's, and Mary, I'm glad that you put him into place, but what you should have said there really is, listen, I listen to Tommy every night, and he's just such a fountain of sports information, and that's where I soak it in. No, obviously, Mary, you know more than me half the time we're talking. You bring up people, I'm like, oh my, well, who the heck is she talking about? So, Mary, you know a lot, especially, now, would you say baseball is your number one sport?
Well, I started following baseball first,
yeah,
so probably.
Right.
Everyone asks me, who do you like better, the Yankees or the Knicks? I'm like, I don't know, but...
you don't have to choose. I know I tried to make you choose there. You could just say that it's all even. You're football, too, or no?
When the season starts, I'm going to be a football.
When the season starts. So, now, have you thought about where you're leaning? I mean, I think it's fairly obvious where you should go, but I don't want to steer you in that direction. But, I mean, are you thinking Giants, or where were we at with that?
Yeah, the Giants.
Yeah,
it's also, like, my family, so, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's also the smart thing to do. Yeah.
Everyone knows Tommy. All my friends know Tommy. I always say, oh, yeah, I was listening to Tommy on the radio.
Yeah. No, you got to promote. I need you out there, yeah. Mary, on the, mm-hmm. you know, boots on the ground, really just getting the word out there about me, especially in the upstate mm-hmm. area. You know, my ratings are very high in Cahunksville up there, but we got to get higher ratings up in upstate New York, especially during contract season.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so about the Yankees.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're getting a little serious now.
Okay.
I'm just so sick of this, Tommy. Oh, my God.
I don't mean to laugh. It's just the way you said it. But no, but Mary, I get it. And listen, you're not the first and you're not the last here to call with this. But I get you're getting sick of it. But I'll let you finish. But I think everything is going to be good and then we'll be in the World Series. But I understand that this is, you know, night in, night out to sort of put your, you know, Mary, you're putting you and all your Yankee fan brethren, you put a lot of time and effort into this product right now. And it's horrible.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, okay, Wells, we're not getting anything from him, like, actually nothing from Wells. Rice finally woke up, but, I mean, Goldschmidt, oh, for what, his last 35 rounds, something like that. Jazz, I don't even know anymore. Yeah. Volpe, well, Caballero's been pretty good. Well, fine, I guess. Volpe, well, he's with a bat, he's been whatever. Defense, oh, my God, don't even get me started. Rosario and McMahon, now we're not getting anything from any of them, so... It doesn't matter who you play at third base, but McMahon is better defensively.
So at least he's got that going for him. I mean, yeah, Mary, mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. You go around the diamond, and I always appreciate the call. You, and keep it up, and listen, when my advice is when I'm, the boys are idiots. Take it from one who's still a boy at 40, and I'm still an idiot. We're dumb. You know, they're just beyond. Anytime they step to you with stuff like that, just put them right in their place. Do me a favor. Just spit out the sports knowledge. But the Yankees do have to make a bunch of upgrades. There's no doubt about it. Catcher, third base, like you hit on, relievers. There is a lot of holes on this team. But the good news is I think Brian Cashman will address those issues. And I also believe that with the additions of Aaron Judge coming back from injury, Stanton coming back from injury, Fried coming back from injury, the Yankees, the product you get in late August, September, October will be vastly better than the product that has been the worst team in baseball over the last 20 games, a 5-15 stretch. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It is Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the late night here on The Fan. If you're on hold right now, we will get to you. If you want to join the conversation, you can at 888-808-1019. It is After Hours, final segment coming up. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the late night here on The Fan.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, Make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Meola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. Men's National Team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
1:30 here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie, final segment here on After Hours. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. We'll get back to those calls in just 1 second here. This Fan Focus is presented by Chef IQ. Watch the game, not the grill. Get your gear at chefiq.com. The Yankees need to DFA Austin Wells. They need to DFA Anthony Volpe. They just have to cut ties. I mean, Austin Wells is having one of the worst seasons, not just in Yankee history, in baseball history. Austin Wells has 10 RBIs. Ryan O'Hearn had 10 RBIs in one game this week. Austin Wells has 10 RBIs, and we're in early July. He needs to go. Minors, DFA, he needs to be gone. Anthony Volpe, the idea that he is starting at shortstop is absolutely ridiculous. He needs to go. Volpe and Wells need to be off this team. Send him to the minors, DFA him, do whatever you need to do. Wells has no future on this team. Volpe, maybe, if he wants to play second base, if he wants to be a utility player, perhaps Volpe down the line could be a contributor to the Yankees. But as far as this year and the changes the Yankees need to make, they need to start right now with two big ones. Get rid of Wells, get rid of Anthony Volpe. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It is Lugie in the late night here on The Fan. I will say this about the Yankees. Despite how poorly they are playing, and they have been the worst team in baseball for the last 20 games, they're not making contact. The Yankees offense is in the toilet. Everybody's struggling. And yeah, you're without Judge, you're without Stanton, and this is going to be my point. The Yankees are going to the World Series. I believe that. Despite how bad they're playing, I believe the Yankees are going to the World Series. Number one, they have a great starting rotation with Schlittler, Fried, and Cole. Number two, as bad as they are offensively right now, they're going to get Judge back, one of the great players on the planet. They're going to get Stanton back, one of the great postseason performers in history. They're going to get him back. They're going to get Max Fried back, one of the great pitchers in baseball right now. They are going to, meaning Brian Cashman, is going to make moves at the deadline, trade for a catcher, trade for a third baseman. I would trade for Arise and Hunter Goodman. That's what I would do. They're going to trade for multiple relievers. So the Yankee team that we see in August and in September and then in October is going to be way better than the slop that we're looking at right now. So as bad as things are, and as they drop further and further in the division race here against the Rays, when it's all said and done and the dust settles because of the product that the Yankees are going to have and put out at the end of the year through trades and star key players, superstar players coming back. Oh, and oh, by the way, the American League sucks. So the road and the path is easy for the Yankees, which is, look, that might sound like, oh, I'm knocking. No, I'm not. I'm just saying that great. It's easier, even better. Why would you want it to be harder? I mean, if it could be easier a road than a harder road, you would take the easier road. So the American League sucks. You're getting all these star players back. You're going to make moves at the deadline. So the bad slop that we're looking at right now is not going to be the Yankees come the dog days of August, September, and October. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's head out to California. It's Fernando on The Fan. What's up, Fernando?
Hey, Tommy. You're the best, bro.
Appreciate
I love the Knicks.
Yes.
You're from the get-go, you called it Knicks in five. You're the man. You believed all of it.
Thank you.
And hopefully what you're saying rubs off on the Yankees. But to me, the Knicks are my number one, but Yankees are my religion. And I'm sorry, man. It's been too long. Cashman's got to go. Boone's got to go. Hopefully they bottom out the season. I know you want to be positive and say
yeah,
they want to go to World Series.
You want them to bottom out so there's change. I just don't think there's going to be change. First of all, they're not going to bottom out. Second of all, there won't be change. They're just, I know, and you represent a lot of Yankee fans out there. There's not going to be maybe manager, definitely not Cashman.
But this is my point, is that, you know, in the past, like when the Yankees would trade prospects, those prospects would turn out to be all-stars somewhere else. In the Cashman regime, he hasn't developed him.
No, it's all good.
And other than that, name me another player.
Yeah, like, but name me these guys that they traded away that became all-stars elsewhere.
Eric Milton, you ever heard of Fred McGriff, Jay Buhner?
Oh, no,
Jose Rijo?
Well, hold on a second. But let's talk about more modern times. Let's get with more of like, let's just say the last 10 years.
But that's my point, Tommy,
yeah.
That
Cashman,
under Cashman, the prospects, the uber prospects are like the, you know, Dominguez, the Spencer Jones, Mason Williams, you know, on and on and on. Gleyber Torres, you know, Gary Sanchez, you know, he passed away, Jose Montero, all these uber dime prospects. And then when it was time, they were nobody.
Yeah, but one thing I will say about Cashman, though, he sometimes pumps up prospects to trade them, and then he ends up getting good deals. I'm not saying Brian Cashman's perfect, far from it, but the Yankees are in contention every single year. They are getting to October, barring an injury-plagued season, every single year. And I understand they haven't won a championship in quite some time, and I understand they should be winning more championships because they're the Yankees, I suppose, but this is what they do every year, and it's difficult to do this. Not every team. I mean, what other team in baseball does what the Yankees do consistently year in and year out?
The Dodgers.
No, but the Dodgers just started doing this. They haven't been doing this forever.
But my biggest detriment to Cashman is Tampa Bay. They're doing it with one-tenth of the salary.
Yeah, they're doing it this year. But where were they last year? They were horrible.
Tommy, come on, bro. They made the World Series twice.
Okay, the Yankees were in the World Series 2 years ago.
You know what? In the past 15, 20 years, the Rays have been to the World Series more than the Yankees.
Okay, so you would rather have the Rays over the last 15? Come on. The Yankees?
No, Tom,
you mean meaning they've been more successful is my point.
Yes. No. My point is this. My point is that the resources and however the management structure is for the Rays and the Dodgers, and again, this is scouting and development and all that, somehow those systems, those teams, have it more locked
in. Yeah, but if the Rays had more money to spend, they would spend it. So it shouldn't be to a fault to the Yankees that they spend their money. I mean, that's strength that they have.
You're right,
advantage.
But you spend your money, but you spend $350 million on Stanton, who's a DH, who plays 60 games
yeah, but Stanton has been an unbelievable October performer for them. And they've also spent their money on Judge and Gerrit Cole and Max Fried.
Come on. Listen.
They traded for Juan Soto.
Cole, please know what?
Okay, that was twice. The first one was on accident. The second one, we got to let you go. You can't do it twice. The first one you did on accident. The second one you did not on purpose, but you definitely let one loose there. All good. Look, the Rays, the A's, there are certain teams that are and this is why we're going to have what we're going to have next year, at least, and I don't think it's Armageddon, but maybe a couple games missed. There's certain teams that either don't have the money or they don't put the money in the product. And the Rays, by necessity, have to do what they're doing. And that's a credit to them. But I also think when I look at the Yankees and they haven't finished under 500 since the early 90s, that's a massive credit to them. And they're in October year in and year out. Now, the love affair with Boone, some of the things they do, absolutely. But Brian Cashman's not going anywhere. At some point, he will step down and will take on an advisor role with the team, but he's not getting fired. And there's no reason to believe that Aaron Boone's getting fired. I think when the dust settles, the Yankees are going to be back in the World Series. Now they're going to be stepping up in competition because the National League is superior to the American League in every metric, including head-to-head matchups this year. But the team... Right now, the team that you're looking at is also a product of injuries. Brian Cashman has an opportunity at the deadline to fix this roster, and he will, I believe, at least put that effort forward. Now, if the Yankees don't make the World Series and they ran it back, which I was critical of, then we could start to poke at Brian Cashman and the job he did. But, you know, you look at some of the players that he's brought in over the last couple of years, including Bellinger and Soto and Fried. And say what you want, but even like Goldschmidt, who the first part of this year, I know he's struggling now, but first couple of months, Goldschmidt was playing at an all-star level. I don't love McMahon, but he is an upgrade defensively at third base and over the corpse of DJ LeMahieu. And offensively, which wasn't hard to do. That wasn't a high bar to clear. Caballero was a good move. Bednar was a good move. Cashman's not perfect, but I do think what the Yankees do year in and year out is harder to do and is really a credit to them that they basically make the postseason every year. Obviously, if Judge gets hurt and he misses a ton of games, which is the case this year, but the American League is so bad that the Yankees are not missing the postseason. They're not. So I don't think it's going to be anything catastrophic like that. In fact, I think they're going to... Now, the division, the more heads-up games they lose against Tampa and the more ground they lose, it's going to be more difficult to win the division. But the American League is so weak that I think the Yankees are going to, even at their B-minus game, they'll get through, much like they did a couple years ago. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to join the conversation. Let's head out to Mike in Brooklyn here on The Fan. What's up, Mike?
Thomas the Great Lugowski. How are you tonight?
What's happening?
Listen, by the way, I can tell we have like 3 or 4 more therapy sessions to do to get you closer to Thomas in moderation. But I'm here to work on it with you, buddy. I'm telling you. I'm here for you.
Okay. You still think I'm way too much on the side of positive Tommy mm-hmm. than I am positive Tommy in moderation?
I think you went down about 5%, so we still got maybe like 20% to go. But, you know, you're getting it.
Well, positive Tommy, to me, as far as positivity, would be at over 100%. So if I only went down 5%, then I'm still way over
100%. That's true. But you're, what do you call it? We'll get you there, buddy. I'm telling you, I'll keep doing my weekly call with you. By the way, Mary, quick, there's a lot of people from Brooklyn call tonight, but tell Mary if she wants literally no expectations, one game win, and you have a great football team, tell them to go for the Dolphins like I did. One win this year, and, you know, we'll be ahead of the game.
Oh, I didn't realize, Mike, that you were a Dolphin fan.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's a long story. What happened,
since Marino, but yes.
That's basically why I saw. I'll tell you that story next time.
Yeah, when we talk football. We'll talk football next week. Good. I think that's probably the week to start opening up.
Sounds good. But the guy before Mary, the other guy from Brooklyn, mm-hmm. First of all, the
Richard.
One thing, I don't know if you caught this. Yeah, he goes, Vientos is an athlete? First of all.
He's an athlete because he's a Major League Baseball player. That would be probably the extent of his athleticism.
Yeah, and Fleek says it best. He's probably the slowest guy for a non-fat guy, Fleek always says, which I agree.
Yeah, I never equated speed necessarily to weight, but I guess you probably have to.
Second, he's probably one of the worst fielders I think I've ever seen.
He's a DH.
And even hitting, he's streaky. So
he's very streaky.
I don't know. It's crazy. Very streaky.
No splits. I mean, he's better against lefties. He's. I still think he has a mm-hmm. look. I'm a diehard Vientos guy, so maybe I'm too positive with him. But I still think he has a role on a big league team. I would prefer it to be the Mets as a DH. We'll see how the cookies sort of crumble here over the next couple of weeks and months.
We'll talk about that in our therapy session. But the as far as the last thing with him is that whole notion that Alonso is going to be a lifesaver and how many games? Yeah, first of all, I'll give you the series. Right, they played the Cubs and Phillies. Remember, there was that 5-game series where the Mets pitching gave up 50 runs and they scored 11.
Yeah.
So you're telling me that Alonso is going to get 39 RBIs in the course of 5 games? And they're going to win all those games? Well, I don't understand where these people come up
with. Yeah, well, our crack maybe. Staff here at After Hours found out that Alonso's WAR this year is 1.9, which would equate to 2 wins. So the Mets would have 2 more wins. Based on that, they would have 2 more wins this year.
That's what I said. I basically said maybe high 3-4. So he'd still be down. The starting pitching is absolute nonsense. If you watch the games on a daily basis, it's all starting pitching. It has nothing to do with Alonso. If you stick Polanco in there, he actually hits, he'd probably win just as many games as Alonso would. You know, it's I don't really understand it, to tell you guys honestly.
Yeah, now look, as far as the starting pitching, too, and I wonder, well, first of all, Clay Holmes' injury was a devastating one, not only to Clay, but just to this rotation, because he was the ace of the staff at that point. And obviously Christian Scott getting hurt, too, was not something that you wanted to see happen. So they lost two starters that are big-time contributors, especially Holmes. So that aided the pitching into sort of the direction that it went in.
Agreed. And then just the last thing is I love, and I would want to bring up more guys, like Santucci, a couple other guys. Mm-hmm. Like, I love Ewing. I love Benge. I love Scott. I love McClain, right? So it's a good, core guys. Like, listen, first of all, I'm at the...
Well, and obviously Soto in that core as well.
Yeah, like I said, you know the way I feel with Soto, with paying him that much money, and I think we have to skimp on other things, but that's for another day as well. But I want this team to win. I don't think they're going to win this year. They're not even going to come close to making the playoffs, and I know you said there's an 8-game winning streak somewhere. They can't even win 3 or 4 games in a row, which is, tough for them. But, hopefully next year we have a great team, and next week we'll definitely talk a little Miami Dolphins football.
Yeah, I'm happy to find out. Yeah, I appreciate the call as always, Mike. I didn't realize you were a Dolphin fan. I think football sounds about, because I could tell, like I check out the social media clips. The hosts here at WFN, it just takes the first host to do it, to talk football, and then everyone's going to start doing it. And I think we're all looking around at each other going, should we talk football? Do we need to talk football yet? Because obviously you're going to talk about it for 5 straight months. And we're going to talk about it in August, but there's always that first host to start to talk about it in July. I think next week is perfect. It's All-Star break. Because I keep hearing these promos coming back from break, these wonderful promos that we have here. And one of them, they both get my juices flowing, because the one about the Giants, and full disclosure, I'm a Giant fan if you don't know that. They talk about, what are your expectations for the Giants? It's like they listen to my show, because I've been talking about having giant expectations going into this season with Harbaugh, and obviously with Jackson Dart, and this roster that they have been putting together for the last couple of years, which I think is ready to win with this type of head coach. So I have giant expectations. So every time I hear that promo, I start thinking about, oh, I know my expectations, would love to hear from everybody else their expectations, which I think fits perfectly for next week. And then the other promo that we hear is about the Jets, which is, are the Jets ready to take the next step? And I'm like, what, off a cliff? What's the next step for the Jets? Are the Jets ready to take the next step? Yeah, into the ocean. No, but we'll get more into it next week, and I've said it a lot since the season ended. The best possible thing for the Jets is to have the number one overall pick. That's why you bring in Geno Smith. It might not be the best for Aaron Glenn, but it is the best for the Jets and for their fan base. Because you can't say long and suffering. Oh, I screwed up my own material. That's when you know it's been a while since I talked football. I always nail that one, and I messed up on that one. First of all, I've been on the air for 4 hours. Excuses are very abundant here. But number one, I've been on the air for 4 hours. And number two, we haven't talked football in a while. So I forgot my own material. I'll do it again. Why not? It's 1:47 in the morning. You can't say Jet fan without long and suffering in front of it. But yeah, Dolphin fan? Ooh. My buddy JJ Jastrzemski is a Dolphin fan. Well, one thing I'll say about the Dolphins and their fans, they act like they're better than the Jets. They're not. They really, if you match their successes over the last, I'd have to look up the exact date to kind of give you the line of demarcation, but it's like the Dolphins are as much of a poverty franchise as the Jets are. But yet I feel like their fans feel, well, okay, so maybe the head-to-head matchups, the Dolphins, because the Jets are so putrid, but Dolphins are going to be... Actually, did they sign Malik Willis? I think they did. I have to brush up on my offseason from this thing, but I think they did. So then maybe the Dolphins will win a couple games. But we'll get more into the football coming up next week. It's going to be mostly baseball for the remainder. I got one more after hours. That'll be tomorrow. But then next week, remember, no baseball. Although we do have I don't know the exact details of it, so I'm not going to promote it. But next Monday night, I do know that I'm going 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. because we are airing something 7 to 9. But I don't have all the full details on it, so I'm not going to promote it because I don't have all the information in front of me. When I do, I'll let you know. Now, we brought up the Mets there, Mike, and I'm just so thrilled with the production that A.J. Ewing has shown. I mean, A.J. Ewing has been red hot. He's on a heater. And I look at A.J. Ewing and I see speed, I even see power. Like, that's the thing you heard about him when he first came up. Well, there's no pop. There's no power. Meanwhile, he's got 7 home runs. You project that out for a full season, A.J. Ewing could be a guy that hits you 15, 20 home runs. The speed is there. The great defense is there. The high average is there. He's hitting well over 300 for quite some time. And I'm starting to look at A.J. Ewing as not only perhaps the leadoff hitter for the future, but definitely a stalwart in center field. I really like his game. Along with Benj and this entire outfield. I think Soto, Ewing, Benj is a positive for this team and something to really get excited about as far as the present and the future. But yeah, A.J. Ewing is really, really, really coming along and showing, I think, a full skill set. Average, power, speed, high average, and defense. There's a lot to be excited about the progression of A.J. Ewing, the present A.J. Ewing, and also the future of A.J. Ewing with the Mets. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. So day game for the Mets coming up later today. Day game for the Yankees. I'll be on the air 7 o'clock. So a 5-hour Big Lugowski. Haven't had one of those in a while, but we'll have obviously full reaction to both the Mets and the Yankees. And as far as the Yankees, it is a... You don't want to say must win in July, but it's a very important game because the tiebreaker is starting to slip through the Yankees' fingertips with these head-to-head matchups that they keep losing against Tampa. I thought, worst case, the Yankees would split this series. Like, you couldn't have anything worse than that. Split was worst case. You would ideally like to sweep, ideally like to take 3 out of 4. You definitely don't want to get swept or lose 3 out of 4, but the Yankees are on the verge of doing that. They got a bullpen game coming up later today, and their offense is just so awful. 56 runs scored, the worst in baseball in the last 20 games, in the Yankees' last 20 games. I mean, that's as bad as it gets. That's why they're 5-15, the worst record in baseball. Goldschmidt can't make contact. He's 0 for his last 34. Bellinger, which I feel like nobody's talking about, has been awful. And you think about the money he's making. You think about the guy who's won an MVP. Without Judge, this shouldn't all be on Ben Rice. You know, Bellinger needs to step up, and without Aaron Judge, this is the time to do that, and he hasn't. He's having his worst stretch as a Yankee. We know Austin Wells is putting together the worst season offensively of any player in baseball history. The whole fiasco with Anthony Volpe and Caballero at shortstop. McMahon is just not an offensive third baseman at this point. It's all defense. He's just not a good hitter. You're not getting much out of Dominguez. So really, across the board, the Yankees are just, they're bad right now. And they need a win in the worst way, especially against Tampa. The division is not out of reach, far from it. But the tiebreaker is starting to slip from the Yankees' fingertips. And they can't get it all back in one game, but it'd be a good start on Thursday afternoon where the Yankees will throw a bullpen game to get out of Tampa with a split. And you want to see some offensive production. You want to see some contact. You don't want to see, again, 11 strikeouts tonight. So 17 in game one, 17 in game two, 11 tonight. Quick math, that's what, around 45 strikeouts in 3 games? No runs tonight? They need some type of spark offensively. And right now, it's hard to say who it's going to come from. I mean, you point to Ben Rice, but this is where like a Bellinger, you know, Cody Bellinger needs a big hit. He needs a big home run, maybe a 3-run homer. I say homer, but, you know, at some point the Yankees had 3 hits the other day, and it was all homers. So maybe a double, big bases-clearing double for Bellinger to get him going, to get the Yankees going, so that they can get out of Tampa with a split. Because if they lose 3 out of 4, you could kiss essentially the tiebreaker goodbye. And then you're going to have a lot of work to do because you're going to be 7 back in the loss column, which is exactly what you were staring at Memorial Day weekend. So here we are on the heels of another holiday weekend, and the Yankees are exactly where they were Memorial Day weekend. So all the progress that they made after Memorial Day weekend is now gone, and they have a bunch of injuries. When it's all said and done, the Yankees, I think, are going to the World Series. But these are bad times for them, and help is not on the way anytime soon. Like, the injured players are still a ways away. The trade deadline is still a month away or a little under a month. So it's on the players that are here. It's on the Bellingers of the world to step up and do something. and make contact and score some runs and sort of have a laugher later on today. You win 7-1. And it's not going to solve all their problems. It's not going to make all the Yankee fans feel better. But you could take a deep breath and maybe a sigh of relief that you didn't lose 3 out of 4. All right, that'll do it for me. My thanks to Bond villain Jack Hardy. My thanks to Fliegelman on the other side of the glass. Gordon Damer comes your way next. All the listeners, all the callers, everybody that called in and listened, I thank you. I will be with you later on today at 7 o'clock. Enjoy all the games, 2 afternoon games. You obviously hear the Yankee game here on The Fan. So we'll talk later on today at 7 o'clock right here on After Hours.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.